Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our sermon series on the book of Genesis. The readings are taken from Genesis 21 verses 1 to 7 and Romans 4 verses 16 to 25. The talk is given by our guest preacher, the Reverend Christabel Ager, and is entitled Abraham, God Keeps His Word. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
So, our first reading from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 21, just reading seven verses. The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. And Abraham named their son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Who would have said, Abraham, that Sarah would nurse a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is from Romans chapter 4, verses 16 to 25. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we come to look in more depth at God's word, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, your Holy Spirit is given to us to interpret your word to us. We pray that we may listen to his voice, hear what you have to say to us, and obey as you challenge us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. When I was a little girl, my ambition was to be a nurse, and I prepared for this future career by creating a doll's hospital in the attic and spending hours making it as realistic as I possibly could. But something was lacking. I'd got the beds, I'd got the blankets, I'd got the dolls, I'd even got medicines made out of food colouring and water. but I hadn't got a nurse's uniform. A family friend came to stay with us for a few days, and she promised that she would make me a nurse's uniform when she went home. So every day when I came in from school, I asked if it had come yet. But it never had. I began to think it never would, and I was very disappointed. But eventually, after what felt like years, probably was at least a year or more, a parcel arrived, and it held a cap and apron, made, I think, out of an old sheet. But there was no blue cape lined with red, and no blue and white striped dress. And I did feel a bit deflated. True, the friend had kept her promise, and I was grateful. But it wasn't quite what I had hoped for, or not entirely what I had hoped for. Maybe you've had a similar experience of waiting so long for someone to keep a promise that you began to lose faith in the person who had made the promise, or perhaps you lost faith completely in him or her. Maybe when the promise was kept, it wasn't all that you thought it might be, and you were disappointed. Maybe you have claimed one of God's promises in the Bible as your own, but it hasn't been fulfilled yet, and you are wondering if God's promises are in fact trustworthy. And that's a hard place to be in. So let's see if we can learn something about the God who makes promises from the experience of Abraham. Abraham, or Abram, as he was called when we first meet him, appears, first of all, at the close of Genesis chapter 11. And he is a fascinating spiritual giant, larger than life character. And his life began in Ur of the Chaldees, quite a long way from Canaan. And it began somewhere around 2000 and 100 and something BC. And the people of Ur, where he grew up, worshipped the moon. They didn't worship God. Now, for some reason that we're not told, Terah, Abraham's father, decided to move his family to Canaan. Only he never got there. He stopped on the way in a place called Haran, and he settled there. Abraham, however, had heard God speaking to him and telling him to finish the journey to Canaan. Now, here is something we're not told as well. How had Abraham learned about God so that he recognized his voice and trusted him? The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe it doesn't tell us because we don't really need to know. It's more important that we learn that Abraham did obey God and found him trustworthy. And God gave those lovely promises to Abraham, or to Abram. His promises were that he would have a land to live in, that he'd become a great nation, that he'd be known as a great man, and that he would be a blessing to others, that he would enjoy God's protection, and that through him, God's blessing would reach all the people of the earth. So Abram, who was childless and 75 years old, made the huge decision to leave his father, to leave the familiar culture that he knew, to take his wife Sarah and nephew Lot, to follow the call of an unknown God and make an entirely new start in an unknown land. And you can see there his journey, which was about 400 miles long. I wonder what Sarah thought of that. We don't know whether she shared Abraham's faith and trust in the call of God, or whether she just went along because she had no choice. I wonder if you or I could have done that. leave home, leave everything that was familiar, family, friends, culture, if God called. There was no postal service or email or FaceTime or Zoom to help Abraham stay connected with his family. He was making an absolutely clean break at the call of a God whom, as far as we know, he had not known until now. His obedient faith was massive, and we can only marvel at it. But it wasn't plain sailing. Challenging events tested Abraham's faith, and he didn't always get things right. He was a spiritual giant, but like us, he was imperfect. And he had to contend with famine. He had to rescue his nephew Lot when he was taken hostage. Twice, he decided to pretend that Sarah was his sister so as to protect his own skin. And all the time, he had to face the fact that he and Sarah had no children, and biologically, it was impossible now to have any. So how could he become the father of a great nation as God had promised? Move on to Genesis 15, and we read that when Abraham's faith wobbled, God came to reassure him and promised him again a son of his own and descendants as many as the stars in the sky. And at this point in the story comes a sentence which is absolutely pivotal to the whole story of God's salvation. As we heard, it's something that is for us as well as for Abram. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. It wasn't the good things that Abram did which caused God to consider him as righteous. He was, on the whole, a good husband to Sarah and a good master to his servants. But that wasn't why God considered him to be righteous. It wasn't even Abraham's courage in obeying God's call to leave everything he knew and travel to a strange land. It was the fact that he believed what God said. He took God at his word. Now, even today, among the people who still believe in God's existence and a life beyond death, there is still the misconception that if they want to go to heaven, they must earn their way there by being good. If they are honest, give to charity, are good neighbors, don't do anyone any harm, and only tell white lies, surely that's all God can expect of them, and hopefully they will get through the pearly gates when the time comes. The descendants of Abraham and the Jews of Jesus' time had a similar view. If they kept the law that God gave through Moses in 1445 or so, some 700 years or more after Abraham, God would have to be pleased with them. And that was the issue that Paul is dealing with in Romans chapter 4 that we heard just now. Jewish Christians, young in the faith, still couldn't quite grasp the truth that they could not receive salvation by obeying the law. They couldn't quite understand that everything God offers, forgiveness of sins, peace and reconciliation with God, hope that the kingdom of God would be established, life beyond death, were not blessings that they deserved or could earn by their slavish obedience to the law of Moses, but the priceless gifts of God's grace, and that trusting God's word and his power is what God looks for. Paul writes that Abraham was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And Abraham's belief that God had that power was proved to be right. When he was 100 years old, Isaac was born. And Sarah held their newborn son in her arms and laughed with joy. The impossible had happened. God had kept his word. This elderly couple had waited month after month for 25 long years. Abraham had sometimes wondered how God could keep his promise to make him the father of a great nation. But his trust in God's power outshone his doubts. Now, in some ways, Abraham had very little to go on. He had no Bible, perhaps not even any oral tradition to tell him about an unseen God. No other believers, as far as we know, to encourage him. Not even much personal experience of God, only that call to leave the old life behind him and trust God's promise. We, by contrast, are so blessed in our generation. We have both the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament, giving us the wonderful story of God's great plan for the world from the very beginning. We have the historically attested story of Jesus, his life, his teaching, his terrible death, and his amazing resurrection. We have the evidence that God kept his promise to Abraham that through him all the peoples of the earth would be blessed. Isn't that exactly what has come to pass through Abraham's descendant in earthly terms, Jesus Christ, who came not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved? And we have the gift of the Holy Spirit to make Jesus real to us and to interpret the scriptures for us. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, those who trusted God before us and those who trust him now. We have so many reasons to trust the God of Abraham, because he kept his word then, kept it through Jesus, and now keeps it in our own experience when we trust him. If you have claimed one of God's promises, which seemed to be for you, and yet you haven't seen it fulfilled, learn from the story of Abraham and Sarah and their long, long wait for a baby. Learn from the fact that they didn't see the full fulfillment of God's promise because they couldn't live that long. And yet it happened. God keeps his word, and he knows the right time for his promise to be fulfilled. From the day when Adam and Eve first disobeyed God, he promised that someone would come who would crush the power of evil. The world had to wait unknown thousands of years from that day until Christ entered our history. Paul, again, writing to the Christians in Galatia, said, "When the set time had fully come, God sent his Son." When the set time had fully come. God kept his word at the time he knew was the right time. And that's what God does. He may keep us waiting, and our human understanding can't get why. But he knows the right time. He always keeps his word. That's why Abraham could trust him completely. That's why today you and I can trust him completely. But what does trust look like when we're waiting for God to keep his word? Are you waiting for God to act? Let's skip a couple of generations and see how Abraham's great-grandson handled a long and difficult time of waiting. When Joseph was a youngster, God gave him a couple of dreams which seemed to promise that he would become an important man, honored by his family. And it didn't happen. Joseph was rejected by his family and sold as a slave in Egypt, far from home and family and everything familiar. Instead of being the boss, he was at the beck and call of Potiphar. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of attempted rape, and he was flung into prison. And there he languished until God's time came. You might expect that Joseph would have given up on God and decide that his dreams were a cruel joke. But he didn't. As a slave, first of all, he served Potiphar so well and proved himself so faithful that Potiphar trusted him to run all his affairs. Lonely and unloved, he still rejected Mrs. Potiphar's advances because to give in would be to sin against God. So he was faithful to God and refused to do wrong in his eyes. In prison, he worked so hard that he was made the jailer's right-hand man. While he waited for God to keep his word, Joseph was faithful to God, and he became a blessing to Potiphar, and then to the jailer, and then to Pharaoh's butler. And although it still took another 2 whole years after that, it was through the butler that he came to Pharaoh's notice, and the dreams began to be proved true. I think you're going to be looking at the story of Joseph a little bit later this summer, and you'll get all the details then. But Joseph became a blessing to the whole region, including his own family back in Canaan. He had had to wait a long time, but he trusted God's word, those promises, and he lived obediently. And that's what trust looks like. It's knowing that God's time is perfect, and as Abraham and Joseph did, carrying on with what he gives us to do in the here and now, while we wait for him to put his word into action. Is that something that you and I can take on board this week? Trusting God in the waiting. Let's ask for his grace to help us trust the utterly faithful God of Abraham, Joseph, and countless others. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in a shifting world, in a world where truth is not always honored, in a world where people are insecure and unsure, thank you that we can trust you, that your word is unchanging, and that at the right time, which you alone know, you will keep your word. So whether we are waiting for a promise to be kept by you, waiting for something to change, help us to know that your time is perfect and to serve you faithfully as we wait. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.